from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes, Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. To subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there, do that, get rewarded. Coming up on today's show, we are going to recap the Giants' three games over the weekend in Baltimore, the Giants winning 2 out of 3. We're also going to preview today's opening of the first-year player draft, which starts tonight. The Giants pick 10th overall and 51st today. So the Giants lost 9-6 on Friday, they won 8-2 on Saturday, and they won 8-1 on Sunday against the lowly Baltimore Orioles. So with the 2 out of 3 wins, the Giants improved to 24-34. They're 16 games back in the National League West, and their run differential did improve over the weekend, but is still minus 76, which is last in the National League. That run differential has an expected win-loss record of 21-37. The Giants are actually playing decently on the road. They're 14-16 on the road this season, so they have a chance to pretty much pull close to 500 if they can have a good series in New York. But the problem is they're 10-18 at home. They're also just 13-22 against teams that are over 500. So really, it's not saying all that much when you win a series against the Orioles. In game one of the series, the Giants scored 5 runs in the first inning. Joe Panik drew a walk. Mike Yastrzemski hit a triple. He also hit a home run in the second inning. Looking like a great start for the Giants, breaking out in the first inning, getting 5 runs. But then Drew Pomeranz comes out in the bottom of the first and allowed 6 runs. So it was really pathetic pitching by both teams early on. Pomeranz gave up 2 more runs in the second inning. So all told, he went 1 1/3 and allowed 8 earned runs. 2 homers, 2 walks, 6 hits. Just an unacceptably poor performance. And this might be a good time to talk about Drew Pomeranz specifically. The next day, the media was informed that the Giants are going to skip his next start. Sean Anderson is going to start in his place a day earlier, and it's normal rest for him because of the off day today. But the point about Pomeranz, the fact is it was an extremely low-risk signing. It was 1 year, $1.5 million guaranteed. He got an extra $500,000 for making the opening day roster, so right now it's like 1 year, $2 million. And then there are all kinds of innings pitched, games played, days on the roster, escalators to the salary. So if he stays on the roster for a long time, the salary will go up. And if he makes a lot of starts and pitches a lot of innings, the salary continues to climb. But it's essentially performance-based, because if he's not starting because he's not pitching well, he's not getting paid as much. And so 1 year, $2 million is nothing in Major League Baseball terms. And Drew Pomeranz had one of the best ERAs in MLB from 2014 to 2017. He had like a 3.26 ERA during that span of multiple seasons. And then he got blown up in 2018, kind of similar to what we're seeing now. But it's a very prudent buy low type of move. And there's no guarantee that it's going to work. But the thing is, there's almost no risk if it doesn't work. And there is reward if it does work and he gets back to that form that he was featuring from 2014 to 2017. So the fact that he's not doing well says nothing about incompetence by the front office. It says they made a good buy low move, and so far it hasn't worked out, but it's no sweat off their back. What really could be criticized is when you invest long-term and for high dollar amounts into a player like this. You could make a case that's kind of what the Giants did with Jeff Samardzija, who pitched well on Sunday, but overall that contract, I bet they wish they didn't have it on their hands. A 5-year, $90 million contract, that is something that ties you up versus 1 year and $2 million. It's not even close to the same level of contract, but you could make a case Pomeranz was a better pitcher between 2014 and 2017 than Samardzija ever was. Derek Rodriguez came in for relief of Pomeranz and pitched 4 2/3 scoreless innings. He continued to not like strike anybody out. He got 2 strikeouts in those 4 2/3 innings. So his peripherals remain high, which was the issue that kind of blew up in his face and cost him his rotation spot. So I do remain a little bit skeptical about the long-term future of Derek Rodriguez, but he did pitch well in this game and he had been pitching well in relief prior to this game. Last note from this game is that Evan Longoria played some really good third base defense. The ball was hit to him a lot and he handled everything. Another note about Pomeranz and kind of maybe Derek Holland falls into the same category is that home runs are like skyrocketing this year at a level that shouldn't have been predicted. They were way up in 2017, but then they went back down in 2018. And fly ball pitchers like Drew Pomeranz and Derek Holland, when the ball is just jumping out of ballparks with unseen before regularity, it would make sense that flyball pitchers might have an issue. And that's exactly what we're seeing from Pomeranz and Holland. Their biggest issues so far have been giving up too many home runs. So A, they were low risk signings, not long-term high dollar commitments. If it doesn't work out, it's easy to move on. And B, I think that we can't totally blame off-season evaluation because I don't know if we should have seen this level of home run hitting coming because it wasn't like this last season. There were more home runs hit in May 2019 than any month in MLB history. So something's up with the ball, and now we need to reevaluate because certain pitchers might not be able to perform in this environment, and Pomeranz could be a guy like that. Anyway, the Giants lost 9-6. On Saturday, the Giants won 8-2. This was a start by Sean Anderson. There was another good at-bat for Mike Yastrzemski in the first inning. He drilled one down the line that was just foul, and then he ended up drawing a walk on a full count. Belt hit a 2-out, 2-run single in the inning. And all of the people who say that he's never clutch, which there are a lot of them, are always silent when he does have a clutch moment. So it's selective memory there. In the top of the fifth, Belt hit a bases-loaded 2-out double that was also clutch. So confirmation bias when we say, oh, he's never clutch, next time he strikes out in a big situation, because you're just conveniently choosing to forget these two at-bats, for example. Buster Posey hit a ground ball to the right side and trying to leg it out, he seemed to tweak his hamstring a little bit and came out of the game. And it was announced later that Aramis Garcia was called up prior to Sunday's game. They did not put Posey on the injured list, but Garcia was called up because they didn't want Posey to be playing on Sunday. Sam Coonrod was optioned back to the minors in a corresponding move. I would say the real story of this game was Sean Anderson, 100%. He pitched very well. Went 7 innings, allowed only 2 runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, 5 hits. He did allow a solo home run. But he pitched with conviction. He had good stuff. He was hitting his spots. The seventh inning, his last inning, might have been his strongest inning. He was throwing harder than at any point in the game. He was hitting 94. He won a long battle with the first batter of the seventh inning and struck him out, kind of stared down the hitter as he walked back towards the dugout. And it was the first Giants 7-inning start in a long time since April. So all told, just very impressive. On the season now, he's kind of been slightly above average across the board in terms of ERA, fielding independent pitching, and expected fielding independent pitching. But if you can be a little bit better than average or even average, that would be an improvement for what we've seen in the Giants rotation. So continue to like what I see, and he's certainly earned more looks in the starting rotation. A little bit concerned about the lack of strikeouts. He only has a 13.7% strikeout rate, which is very low, but he's been able to command the ball, only walking 5% of batters, and he's been able to keep the ball in the ballpark for the most part, only allowing 0.82 home runs per 9 innings in his 4 starts. So the projections kind of back that up, that he's going to have good command and an ability to keep the ball in the ballpark better than a league average rate. Never going to wow you with strikeouts, but he does get his fair share of ground balls, and he's got that good cutting action on the fastball and the sinking action at about 93 miles an hour. So it's a good pitch. Those are good pitches for him. So very impressive for the 24-year-old Sean Anderson. Contributing in the rotation where they've had serious need is a good sign. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. It's free, super easy to use, and has every single podcast you love or are searching for. They have personally curated playlists made just for you by their expert podcast tastemakers. Themed collections of shows to help with podcast discovery. You can find everything from comedy to mystery, thrillers, and sports. Listeners can follow their favorite shows and creators, like and comment on individual episodes, and build podcast playlists by the episode. Customize it just like a playlist for songs and share it through social, text, and email. Find and download Himalaya on the App Store or Google Play Store. Don't forget to follow Locked On Giants Baseball once you're there. Coming up in the next segment, we'll talk about Sunday's win against the Orioles and we'll preview the 2019 MLB draft, which gets underway today. The Giants picking 10th overall. So that's all coming up next. But first, okay, so as promised, we'll talk about Sunday's game against the Orioles and we'll preview the upcoming draft, which gets underway tonight. So the Giants won 8-1 on Sunday. Jeff Samardzija was on the mound and pitched very well. 6 strikeouts in 6 innings, no walks, only 3 hits allowed. He did allow a solo home run in the first inning, but that would be the only scoring by the Orioles in this game. Evan Longoria had a much-needed good offensive game. He hadn't had a hit in a week. He hit a home run, a double, and a single. Pablo Sandoval went 0-for-4. He's kind of come down to earth a little bit lately. Brandon Belt had another good game. He had a hit, 2 walks, didn't strike out. His on-base percentage is up to .357, despite the batting average only being .243. So that's what a good walk rate will do. And he's also continuing to hit for some power. He has a .469 slugging, which is not that great, but it's pretty good considering the average is only .243. It's hard to gain that separation between those two numbers. So once again, he's looking like the Giants' best and most consistent offensive player. Brandon Crawford, how could I have not mentioned him to this point? He hit 2 home runs on Sunday, up to 5 for the season. His numbers overall are still very ugly, hitting only .214 with a .285 on base percentage and a .333 slugging. So that just goes to show how much he's been struggling when you hit 2 homers and you're still 35% below average offensively. It was another nice game for Stephen Vogt, who continues to be a good offensive backup catcher and someone who you like using off the bench and in spot starts. Will Smith and Tony Watson pitched very well in relief. Reyes Moronta had more issues with command. He walked a couple batters. Another note about Samardzija, he pitched very well, and credit where credit is due. He was hitting his spots, didn't walk anybody, very impressive, but still, I would tend to think the numbers I'm seeing suggest more like a 4.5 ERA moving forward as opposed to like the really good 3.61 that it is right now. And earlier in the year, a couple starts ago, he allowed like 6 runs and all of them were unearned, which I think is kind of a bogus stat. And I did the math, and if those runs were earned, his ERA would be 4.64, which aligns perfectly with those peripheral numbers. So it's almost like the regression already happened. It's just not showing up in terms of the ERA. But that's around what I would expect moving forward. But he did make a step in the right direction. It was a very good start. If he can do more of what he did yesterday moving forward, then I would change my tune on that. But we haven't seen that enough. So coming up tonight, very important day. The Giants have made some really good high picks in the last, you know, I was going to say the last few years, but really it was in the late 2000s. So that's almost like 15 years ago now, which is kind of crazy. But, you know, Tim Lincecum, Madison Bumgarner, Buster Posey all were top 10 picks. And the Giants pick 10th overall tonight. They also pick 51st for today's drafting, and then the draft continues for the next couple of days. The Giants have been linked to all sorts of different players with this 10th overall pick in different mock drafts across the publications that are out there that focus on these things. I'm just going to run through who some of the major publications have the Giants taking 10th overall tonight in the latest mock drafts. Keith Law of ESPN and MLB.com have the Giants taking third baseman Josh Jung from Texas Tech. Here's the summary of Josh Jung from Law. A strong track record of hitting for average with his power potential and unanswered question, showing good plate discipline but struggling a bit against better quality stuff. He's at third base now but will need to work to stay there. So that's not the most optimistic report, and Law has Josh Jung as his 18th best prospect on this list. He also says Bryson Stott, Hunter Bishop, and Michael Bush are considerations at 10 as well, with him hearing that college bats are the most likely way the Giants will go. MLB.com says Bryson Stott is also a consideration in addition to Josh Jung. They also see Jackson Rutledge, a right-handed pitcher, being in play if he falls to 10th. MLB.com also says high school right-hander Matthew Allen gets mentioned at 10 quite a bit. On Fangraphs, they go a really different route, saying that CJ Abrams, a shortstop out of Blessed Trinity High School in Georgia, will fall to the Giants at 10th overall, which everybody else has Abrams way higher on their list. So if he fell, that would be surprising and probably a big win for the Giants in their eyes. Fangraphs also says Hunter Bishop is believed to be the favorite if Abrams doesn't make it, with Rutledge, the pitcher, Stott, and Alec Manoa also in play. So what I'm seeing is kind of all over the place with who the Giants will take, so I really don't think we know, and we'll just have to wait and see. Abrams is a shortstop. Keith Law has fifth on his board, calls him an 80-grade runner with the physical ability to stay at shortstop. May move to center field. He's such a good runner. 80 runner is the best runner you can be. Law says Abrams projects to hit for average, but not power, and he needs to show better plate discipline to become a classic leadoff type hitter. Hunter Bishop, who Fangraphs called the favorites if Abrams doesn't fall to them, is eighth on Law's list. He shows tremendous power and a good eye. Plays center field now, but will have to move to a corner. Remember, to subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball, you can find us on the brand new podcast app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also get in your car and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Giants Baseball. This is a daily show with new episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Once again, my name is Ben Caspic. You can follow me on Twitter at @Cove_cast. If you like this show, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to listen and subscribe to Locked On Giants Baseball. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow. We will be breaking down who the Giants take 10th and 51st overall in the MLB draft, which gets underway tonight. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.